This is all of it from WNYC. I'm Kusha Navidar in for Allison Stewart, who's on medical leave. It's time for a listening party.
When we were younger, our hearts were open wide. When we were younger, our hearts were open wide.
That's Love We Had from folk musician and the Carolina Chocolate Drops founder, Layla McCullough, and her new album, Sun Without the Heat. It's a follow-up to her 2022 solo project, Breaking the Thermometer, which featured original acoustic compositions and traditional Haitian songs in an exploration of the history of Radio Haiti. It's the country's first independent radio station and one of the few to broadcast Creole. Her latest album draws lyrical inspiration from the writings of Black feminist Afrofuturist thinkers like Octavia Butler, Alexis Pauline Gums, and Adrienne Marie Brown. Sun Without the Heat drops tomorrow, Friday, April 12th, and she also has a show at Joe's Pub at 7 p.m. Layla McCullough joins us today for a listening party. Layla, welcome to All of It.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. For this album, you're taking inspiration from people like Octavia Butler, Alexis Pauline Gums, and Adrienne Marie Brown. What do you find especially compelling about their writing?
I think that there's sort of a shift in, previous generations of activism to my generation, where we're realizing the need for our own personal healing to be a part of, the sea change that we want to see in the world. And that's what really resonated with me about these particular writers, relating the personal to the collective.
And how did you, keep going. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I was just going to say, and I think that that's, something that's just been a part of my ethos and been a part of my work for a long time. But, these songs to me feel like me, staring myself in the mirror and saying, okay, what are the things that I want to create, and what are the things that I want to create for my community?
That sense of the personal and the collective existing at the same time really struck me. How do you transfer that sensibility into the songs on your album?
I mean, I think it began with a pretty introspective process, coming off of the heels of my last record, which was very much immersed in the world of journalists in Haiti who were, really fighting for the right and the freedom to tell their own stories in these incredibly tumultuous political times. I kind of, found myself in this moment of like, knowing how much heartbreak there has been, knowing how much devastation exists in the world, what do I want to say? Mm. and it brought me back to some of my earliest creative, impeti. Yeah. Some of my earliest influences and some of the things that really made me want to be a composer and a songwriter and a singer. Hats that I really didn't know that I was going to be wearing as a classical cellist. Mm. And so I went back to my first record was released in tribute to Langston Hughes. And I've always been looking to Black voices for that sort of guidance. And, those people have always been my guiding light. And here we have this whole, generation of Black women thinkers who are just paving new paths for how to see the world and how to see ourselves in the world. And then I'm thinking about, when I was growing up and learning about people like Caetano Veloso and the Tropicalismo movement in Brazil, realizing I lived in West Africa when I was in high school, and I always feel like, we don't have a very nuanced conception of ourselves as part of the African diaspora, because blackness and Africa is seen as so monolithic. And so that's always something that I'm trying to undo, and I think through my music. And, and then on the personal side, I'm a single mom, and I'm like, I have to guide my children in these, do it. Am I guiding my kids with the values that I actually walk through the world with? And, reading books like Emergent Strategy and Pleasure Activism by Adrienne Marie Brown were really helpful to me in, not only self-compassion, but compassion for this grieving world.
That idea of, breaking down these monolithic, I suppose you could say, figures, but also looking towards, Black voices for inspiration. You can see that throughout the album. There's one song that especially struck me, among others, the song Sun Without the Heat, which shares the title of the album. The lyrics also draw from a speech by Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist and civil rights icon. In an 1857 speech, he said, "If there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet deprecate agitation are men who want crops without plowing the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the roar of its mighty waters." So very impactful, moving, prose there. Tell us a little bit about the speech and how it became such a core part of your album.
I was reading a book called Liberated to the Bone, which is actually part of Adrienne Marie Brown's Emergent Strategy series on the AK Press. And it's written by a writer, thinker, healer named Susan Raffo. And in that book, she was talking about, what it takes to have true progress in our society. And she quotes that speech. And I immediately heard all of that imagery as song lyrics. And when I have that feeling, I pick up my guitar and I'm like, how do I make this a song? I think that there's so much that we can still kind of learn from that. Of course, Frederick Douglass was speaking to a room full of white abolitionists who were saying, we want, slavery to end. And he was basically saying, it's going to take more than just wanting it to end. We're going to have to actually do things. We're going to actually have to sacrifice things. We're going to have the hard conversations, that make people uncomfortable. We're going to have to take things away from people to make society more equitable. And I think that those words are still true. Of course, we've abolished slavery in principle, but it exists in so many ways, and we still have a deeply exploitative society, in my opinion, and socioeconomic system sort of based on exploitation. And I think that that's one of the most painful things about kind of doing this artistic work is, that will it make a difference to write songs based on these ideas? And obviously I believe that it will, because, songs, people reach people's hearts in ways that, and art in general touches people's hearts that can change their minds. And so to me, it's more of a, fortifying my own spirit to continue doing this artistic work, but then also, asking us all to think about, the ways that we contribute to each other's liberation and freedom.
And that sounds like it is at the heart of how you maybe balance your role as a musician and songwriter with also participating in some of today's social movements. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the art is fed by what is happening in the world, and it's a way of giving back. That's sort of the call and response, that's the conversation that I am deeply engaged in with my work.
Yeah. And so let's take a listen. If you're just joining us, this is All of It. I'm Kusha Navdar. I'm joined by Layla McCalla, who just came out with, or is coming out with, a new album, Sun Without the Heat. Let's take a listen to the track of that album that shares the same name. Here it is.
You want the crops without the plow. You want the rain without the thunder. You want the ocean without the roar of its waters. Can't have the sun without the heat. Nothing that I say hasn't been said before. Nothing that I feel hasn't been felt before. These wounds are so old. These wounds are so old. These wounds are so old. These wounds. You want the crops without the plow. You want the rain without the thunder. You want the ocean without the roar of its water.
Layla, your last album, Breaking the Thermometer, told the story of journalists at Radio Haiti who risked their lives to report news in Haitian Creole. How did you want to tell their story in that album?
I was invited, I was commissioned to create a multimedia performance inspired by research at the archives of Radio Haiti at Duke University. And this was a multi-year collaborative project that involved a lot of research, but a lot of also kind of figuring out how to tell this story in a way that would, really pay homage to the journalists and their fight for freedom of speech and an independent press in Haiti. And, it was the most, I think it remains the most ambitious project of my career. And I learned so much about, late 20th century Haitian history. My family's from Haiti. Both of my parents emigrated to the United States in the 60s under Duvalier. So for me, it was a lot of filling in the gaps in my knowledge and learning about this history and being able to more directly relate it to what is happening politically in the world today.
You mentioned ambitious project, you saying Breaking the Thermometer in English and in Creole as well. What do you find unique about writing lyrics in Creole versus English or French?
What I find unique about it is my limitations in the Creole language. I'm a classic Haitian diaspora kid. I'm not fluent in Haitian Creole. And so for me, I've been learning a lot about the language through the songs. And it's kind of an interesting way to get inside of a language. And it's also interesting because it's also something that's so much a part of my consciousness and my subconscious. And so there's a lot to kind of chip away at. It's almost like I feel like I'm like an archaeologist of sorts, but with my own mind, because I traveled to Haiti many times as a kid. And, I think part of it is that I'm usually performing to rooms full of people who don't speak Haitian Creole, who don't have that connection with it. So a lot of the time people don't know what I'm saying. And so there's a lot of, how to get people to connect with this and how to succinctly sort of explain the inspiration for this music and also how to just reach the emotional core of it all, which of course is, I think you can sing in any language and people still have a sense for what the feeling is of a song. I always find that to be really incredible. Mm. But for me, Haitian Creole is, it's a language of ultimate resistance. Haiti was the first independent Black nation in the Western Hemisphere. And I always think that, I'm not sure that that would have been possible without the Creole language, because, the French colonists, settlers, did not understand Haitian Creole. And that's how people were able to organize. And Haitian Creole is also, a combination of different African dialects, English, Spanish, and French. And so I think it's really incorrect to see the language as just an offshoot of French, which is how it's been sort of characterized. And, you know, sadly, Haitian Creole did not become an official language in Haiti until 1987, you know, after the fall of the Duvalier dictatorship. And so it just goes to show the sort of harm of colonization and what it does to a culture that is struggling to defend itself and define itself on its own terms. And that's what I love about learning Creole. That's what I love about singing in Creole. It feels like this deep ancestral connection that is also about, you know, continuing to fight for the right to tell our own stories.
I hear so much history and lineage and agency in your answer. And I'd love to listen to an example of what you're describing. Let's listen to Leila McCullough's Fort Dimanche from the album Breaking the Thermometer. Here it is.
Est-ce que gagne moun ancien fois dimanche qui mettait tête yo ensemble ou yon par la clope au moins?
Malin obéit son chapeau, Malin obéit son chapeau, porte à terre pas gommé, n'a pas d'affaire, porte à terre pas gommé, n'a pas d'affaire. Malin obéit son chapeau, Malin obéit son chapeau. Faut dimanche t'y en prison tout veiller. Faut dimanche t'y en prison tout veiller. Ma coute yon voyem na cache en prison. Mouet t'es fait.
You know, when I was growing up under Duvalier, during the Duvalier years of the dictatorship in Haiti, to me, it was a period of silence and of fear. I was 17, my family, my uncle, my aunt, and former.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Leila McCullough, who is the musician and singer-songwriter. Her new album, Sun Without the Heat, releases Friday, April 12th, and there's a Joe's Pub performance on April 12th as well. Leila, for Sun Without the Heat, you've said that you wanted music that feels urgent, but also wanted to make this new album be playful and fun. That definitely comes through in the music. What helps bring that levity through in the music, even when it's about struggling or resisting?
Yeah, I think what helps bring that levity through is a commitment to being light, you know, and continue a commitment to telling the truth, a commitment to making music as joyful resistance, you know. I felt like I was transmuting a lot of emotional heaviness, you know, and I don't know if that's just from my life or from you know, the content on my previous record, but I just felt like I want music that's going to help people dance. That's going to help people to process, their own stuff, you know? Hmm. And I was very, sort of steadfast in my mission there. And I surrounded myself with people who really could get on board with that mission and were really supportive. I worked with an incredible producer out of the Bay Area named Miriam Kudus, who just introduced so many, you know, new sounds and textures and feels and had her own sense of playfulness that was really amazing to watch in the studio. And I think that all of those things were really a boon to my mission, you know, with this particular project.
You mentioned your personal life, and earlier on in the segment, you had mentioned being a parent. That made me think of the song Skilled to Survive, because in a tweet, you said that Skilled to Survive is about the connection between parents and their children. And I understand that your own kids are actually featured in the music video for that song. Is that right?
Yes.
How did they react when you asked them to participate?
My oldest daughter was thrilled. It was like, you know, opportunity of a lifetime for her. She was very, very excited to be a part of it. And she actually really, she shines, you know, she really shines. My kids had been listening to me listen to those songs in the car on the way to school. And so they know the record better than anybody else right now. And so when I asked them if they would be into being a part of the video, they were very excited. They got picked up early from school. And I have an older daughter, and my twins, Zayd and Zaya, are 5 years old. And they were a lot more shy. They were so excited until they got on set. And then they were like, whoa, this is a lot. All these cameras and all these people looking at us. But I thought it was a really beautiful moment for us, because I was inspired to write that song after reading this book by Alexis Pauline Gumbs called Undrowned. And I just, like, you know, I think that title just caught me. And it immediately made me want to read the book. But the book is this really beautiful study of marine mammals off the coast of South Carolina and Georgia, in the Sea Islands in that area. And it's not like a, you know, it's not a study from like a sort of biological perspective. It's a lot more of a spiritual study of survival mechanisms of sea mammals in those areas. And I'm thinking about, you know, their patterning and their, you know, survival and their community building. And what are the lessons that we can learn from them? And so I was really fascinated by that. And there's a chapter about teaching our children how to, you know, survive, teaching them that they have the skills. And she has a line in the book that's something about giving a love scaled to survive. And so that's how I landed on that idea. But I loved that, you know, and just feeling myself as a part of a link in a chain, you know.
Yeah.
These are that I got from my mother, and these are the things that I'm passing on.
Well, let's take a listen to it. So we're going to listen to Scale to Survive in a second, but I just want to say we're wrapping up here. So Layla, it was such a pleasure getting to talk to you. We've been talking to Layla McCullough, the singer and songwriter. Her album Sun Without the Heat releases Friday, April 12th. There's a Joe's Pub performance on April 12th as well. Layla, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And here is Scaled to Survive.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.